This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Garrett Wright.
I'm so lost in goat milk soap.
And Brock Rom.
Yeah, Brad Young's never TD'd in his life. We'll see if Brad actually listens to this, because I'll get a text.
Well, here we are at the end of 2020. So we thought we'd have a conversation about the year that was. Everything went right, wrong, sideways, and how we adapted and made the most of the situation. So let's go.
All right. Well, we just missed our zeros.
Go 10.
10? All right.
Nobody say anything about the clap.
Have fun editing this.
Yeah, who's editing it?
Well, there's not going to be any mistakes. There'll be nothing to edit out.
That's the key. You just need to not suck. We're already off to a great start. So what are we doing today?
I was like, yeah, say something.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Let's just kick this episode off. We're going to be recapping 2020 and talking back through the year that was, coronavirus and everything that goes along with that. But we usually save the thank yous and the suggestions for the end of the episode. And I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody that's listening, whether this is episode 29 or episode one for you. Thank you so much for coming along this ride for us. And, you know, to Garrett and Brock, too, thank you for hopping on and doing this and, you know, helping anyone who's listening, hopefully gain some insight, change their perspective a little bit, hopefully continue to help everybody push their boundaries and really improve and make content better, how to think about the work and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to start with that and appreciate, you know, everything that you guys have brought to the table, because this has been really enjoyable for me and catching up with you guys and having the conversations. And I think this is one of the first episodes where all three of us have been back. We, you know, since things have kicked back up the last couple months, it's been tougher for us to all three have the exact time to jump in and have conversations. So in that way, it's also been good that we've been able to keep this thing going. So yeah, thank you both for that and everyone who's listening.
Yeah, no, thank you, Justin. I mean, I've been blown away by the response and the listens we get. It's very cool. But for people who don't know at home, Justin's the one who really, really, really churns the butter on this bad boy. So he gets a lot of the guests scheduled, and Garrett doesn't like my turn of phrase there. But it's true, you know, without Justin, you know, we wouldn't have this podcast. So thanks, Justin, for holding us accountable, keeping us on schedule, and making this podcast into something that people seem to actually enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, Justin really does churn the butter. That's what I've always said. And, you know,
surprised it's not like shucking corn or something like let's take it home.
I thought butter churning was backwoodsy enough for Nebraska.
Yeah, fair enough. I like it. No, I mean, I just echo all that. I love being a part of this. Love that, you know, people have responded. Love that, you know, I get to catch up with you guys. And I think it's fun. You know, we obviously don't know everything. We probably don't even know most things, but I feel like if we can be a help at all in any way, it's worth it. And it's been a good time getting to hear from people who are taking something away from this, whether it just be an enjoyable listen, hopefully, or, you know, maybe some advice.
Yeah, that's 100% up the alley. I think, you know, one of the things I've really enjoyed about it is connecting with people that we all knew, but also connecting with people that we had never met before and hearing different stories of how people got to where they are today, and you know, how they're tackling some of these challenges that we're all facing and coming together. And I think that's really what the Slack group has really been all about, is just trying to have a place where people can come, ask questions, and learn how other people are going approaching a potentially similar problem. So to that point too, if you know, if anyone has suggestions on topics that they'd like to hear us discuss or talk to other people about, please send them, DM us, email us, whatever, however you want to approach that. We're here to help and find a way to have that conversation. So feel free to reach out, and we want to make this about the group and helping anyone that we can, because it ultimately it does help. It hopefully helps your colleagues and other people around, whether it's college, pro. You know, we talked to Jake from the UK with Formula One, and he started talking about how he looks at the pro sports in the US and tries to bring some of that back to his sport. So I think that's the kind of the ultimate goal, is to pick things up from maybe places where you wouldn't necessarily pick things up from. So let's, I guess let's go in, Garrett, let's start with you. I think as far as this year, I know there's been quite a bit of change working from home, you know, being in your closet a lot more, recording this podcast with us. How has this year changed your perspective on what you do and how you do it?
I just think it's changed as far as like realizing what's possible in the production world. I think the innovation that's come out of this that, you know, maybe was happening on either the biggest of big levels where people had resources before to kind of do some of these, you know, deal with some of these technical challenges, or, you know, maybe just existed but didn't need to be deployed widespread. And now the way that, you know, working from home, I mean, we're basically working off of a cloud server for all of our footage to be able to sit and edit from home. I mean, it's wild that literally I could probably never go into the office again at this point, and I wouldn't miss anything with the technology that we've deployed. So, I mean, for that to be the case and for it to happen so seamlessly the way it did for us, I mean, I can't speak to anyone else out there. I'm sure there were a million technological challenges, and thankfully I'm on the back user end. I'm not like Brock setting them up. I'm sure there's a heck of a lot more challenges on that front. But I mean, for me, once the technology got deployed to allow us to work from home and to move, you know, stuff around from work servers to this cloud server to, you know, be able to work from it, you know, from home and talk with our editors, like it's been unbelievable. And I think it just, not just myself, but all my colleagues, the way they've adapted and the way people have adjusted, it's cool. And, you know, I've heard stories about that all across the industry. It's obviously not just happening at Big Ten Network. And, you know, the way that this industry has just continued to evolve and allow people to still do what we do at a really high level is absolutely unbelievable. And I think one of the really unspoken things of 2020, people talk a lot about the challenges, and rightfully so. I mean, there are a ton of them, and I mean, I know I've been incredibly lucky, you know, to still have a job and to still, you know, not be worrying about all of that stuff. Like, my heart breaks for those in the industry that haven't had it as good as I have this year. But, like, you know, I think that there have been a lot of wins, you know, in the year as well, beyond all the hard stuff that the industry's gone through.
You know, we've seen a lot of change and turnover in sports in particular, just because it's live event based, and really looking forward to next year when a lot of that churns back up and you know, all the openings start coming back online, and you know, start to see a whole bunch of people creating and pushing the envelope creatively, content wise, as well, with the infusion of hopefully new skills that people have developed during this time as well. Brock, from your perspective, you know, taking a job and moving in COVID must you know, been extremely challenging. But then also, I think just from the integration side of things, what have you seen this past year?
Yeah, I started COVID in March with one job, and I'm ending the year with a different job, which is good. It was you know, it was a big step, because at Notre Dame I was you know, really directing and producing and doing, you know, leading the department's technical side of things, you know, as much as I could, but my focus wasn't really engineering. It was really focusing on directing and producing mostly live events, still creating some featured content, web content, things like that. And I kind of just, you know, had to put a lot of that creative work to the side because it's not a part of my new job. My new job is obviously technically focused, engineering focused. Engineer is now my title. So I don't really get to do a lot of that producing and directing part of my job that I loved doing before. So that was a major change, not a bad change, but just a different approach. And it's been interesting, you know, because I've still had to travel. I've still had to do installs for clients. I'm fortunate I work for a great company. We've all taken the pandemic extremely seriously. And I think our protocols and measures have been very, very good. And fortunately, nobody's really gotten sick, which is great too. But it's been weird launching rooms for clients. Like we just launched one. We launched a room I led just 2 days ago, and I turned to my coworker and I said, "This is really the first time I've been in a live event room where I'm not directing or producing." And that was weird. That was really weird to like be hands off and not say anything about the direction of the show, the camera direction, the overall flow.
You didn't give any feedback. As you were hanging out watching, like, no,
not my place, not my place. Because directing is so subjective, right? Like, I think I'm a good director, but that doesn't mean I do everything well. Or somebody might think I'm a really bad director. You know, it's all subjective. I try to only give directorial feedback when asked, because sometimes that isn't always welcome, and that's fine. But it was just a very weird feeling. It was also a very weird feeling to be watching a game played in a completely empty arena. I stepped out into the stands for a little bit during that game, and it was just like, wow, this is very, very surreal. Also, I was speaking with one of our clients the other day, and we were talking about how we'd never really seen each other without a mask on, right? And that's a weird thing to think about. So much of your how you come across as a person comes in your facial expressions, and so much of your memory of a person, that we wouldn't know if we'd recognize each other in public without masks, right? So that it's a very weird thing that you kind of grow numb to. But when this is all over and when we can finally see each other without masks, I think it's going to be a totally different experience, at least for me, with clients and vendors and people I've met and worked with, and where I've literally only seen them with a mask on. But you know, it's the integration side of things has been, you know, it's slowed down because projects have slowed down during COVID. Without fans, you know, not a lot of arenas are being built. But with that said, clients who still need work done, we've made sure we do it safely. There's been a lot more remote training this year. That's been a big change. You know, back in the day, get a control room and you'd have the vendor come out, do in-person training, sit in front of the, like, let's say a switcher. Now I have to set up, you know, cameras and streams and remote sessions with virtual users to do that training. And that's a big change, but it's not necessarily a bad change, because once the moment everything's virtual and the moment everything's being streamed, you can record it, right? And now here's a very nice piece of training material that you can pass on to your operators who weren't at the training, or you hire somebody down the road, or you want a little bit of a refresher. So there's been value add across the board that I think, like Garrett said, we're going to transition to some of these things permanently. I've seen a lot of people moving to cloud production, you know, whether that's a software switcher in the cloud, bringing in NDI sources, encoded sources through little throwdown encoders, people calling games remotely, sending multi-viewers out to people, VoIPing back into comms, you know, remote switcher panels where the core is in a trek somewhere and the remote switcher panels in somebody's, you know, somebody's room just like this. Those are the things that we've taken leaps and bounds out of necessity on during this entire pandemic. That I think you're going to stay to a certain extent. I think after this is all done, I think you're going to see a lot of people not want to get caught flat-footed next time. And I think people are going to have, whether that's a Remy room or a virtual connection to whatever truck is out in the field, what have you. I think people are going to have those protocols in place because people don't want to be caught flat-footed again if something like this happens. Or even on a smaller scale, let's say you're on a show out on the road, you have a truck, and your TD calls in sick. You don't have another TD in town, but Brad over in Missouri has his Grass Valley panel in his office, you know, that you can just call him and say like, hey, can you do this show tonight? Can you remote in? Right. That's a big value add for the industry. And I don't think that sort of stuff is going away when this is all over.
Very thankful for Brad in Missouri. I mean, Brock, you talking about, you know, masks, that brought up kind of a thing, you know, just that I thought about was doing all these interviews that I do by Zoom. You know, one of the main parts of my job is, you know, I have to do the one-on-one interviews with the athletes and coaches for my features. And, you know, one of the things I noticed early on in the pandemic was that it was just so hard to build relationships. You know, like normally we have a couple minutes as they're getting mic'd up or they're walking in the room to be like, hey, you know, how you doing? What's going on? And, you know, one of the tricks, of course, is just trying to find any connection you can. Like, oh, you're from, you know, whatever, North Carolina. Oh, I lived like half an hour from there when I worked at Elon University. Man, that's awesome. I love North Carolina. It's so great down there. Like, you know, you just try and make them comfortable, and it's really hard to do that over Zoom. And I just kind of felt a little bit of a disconnect over our first few episodes of our show, doing everything by Zoom. And one of the things that I noticed made it better was if, you know, nonverbal is such a big way to communicate, obviously. And, you know, we're not wearing masks or anything like that, but, you know, I've noticed if I get my face like right up to the Zoom camera, so my face fills the frame, it helps a ton because, you know, I'm probably 6 to 8 feet away on who knows what computer screen, like a 13-inch MacBook or something like that, or like an iPad. And like just that nonverbal communication, like I get right up in their face on the camera. I over exaggerate every movement. If they tell a story that is like even remotely humorous, I am throwing my head back in laughter. Like the nonverbals are crazy, and having to wear a mask all the time, I can't imagine what that's like in person. Like it's hard enough to do this, you know, over Zoom where we don't have masks, but at least we can see each other's faces. Like, I mean, what has that been like for you guys trying to communicate, you know, with masks when you've been in person?
I've had to be very intentional about how I represent my expressions through my eyes, right? Because you could totally say something and mean it one way, but if your eyes say another way, that sounds weird, right? But like it could come across in a different way. So I try to be as intentional as I possibly can with what words I pick, but I also try to express myself more through my eyes than I have before, and being conscious of that because I know that like my facial expressions, or I'll catch myself nonverbally reacting to something with my face and realizing like, oh, they can't see this. Like I need to react to this in a different way. Otherwise they're going to think I'm being really weird. You know, it's things like that, that I feel like I just have to be conscious of, that you obviously don't have to otherwise.
Yeah. We didn't really have any in-person contact for a lot of it. I mean, we've been on Zoom for the most part, but for our draft show, we were in person, socially distanced in our locker room. And yeah, I agree. It's definitely different. But I think, Brock, the difference with what you're doing is meeting clients, and you probably have a little bit of a rapport with them. But it's probably a little bit easier for us because we've all worked together for a couple years. So meeting to do that and make it happen, it was kind of normal now, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, taking my kids and dropping them off at school is usually the primary time where I wear a mask, and my kids have been great about it and used to it. So yeah, I think it's more normal now, but yeah, it's still something that I forget to put my mask on sometimes too. So it I'm still getting used to it because I don't do it that often, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing what's become normal. I mean, just across the board in this world, and it's been cool. I mean, like I said, it just goes back to the way that everyone's adapted. I think it's been really awesome. But what about you, Justin?
I was just going to say, what about you, Justin? I know you guys, obviously you did a partial bubble season. You're starting up the season again. You made a hire during all of this. What's it been like for you?
Yeah, we we made our hire just before COVID happened. So it was, we delayed a couple weeks and then just figured out a way to have him join us. And it's been great to have the extra set of hands to be able to push our content a little bit more than we would have otherwise, especially. But, you know, just getting back to gameplay and getting over the hump that was the ambiguity period in March, once everything kind of shut down, there was just a lot of questions that we didn't have answers to. Was it a couple week thing? You know, when we initially started, I think the initial thought was, hey, maybe this is a 4 to 6 weeks, 1 month thing, and then we'll be back at it. And here we are 9 months later, and it's still kind of in the same boat. So, you know, a lot of things happened between now and then. There was a lot of starting and stopping, thinking that we were going to have short timelines to turn things around, and those timelines changed quite a bit. And I think that's probably been the thing that's happened more often in the last 7 or 8 months than anything else, is, hey, we might need this here, or, hey, this is coming. We don't know when, but, you know, just so you're aware when it does come, because it's probably going to come quickly. Getting into the bubble scenario back to basketball, you know, there's a lot of things that switched to be digital, and we had executions that we didn't necessarily have when we were in person playing that we needed to make happen through Zoom, through Vimeo. When we used our live stream program, we figured out a way to, you know, have content, you know, pull up content and put it into a skin so that we could cut down on the post-production process. So I think for us, for that was fantastic and helped us cut down on some pre-pro time and still deliver more assets that way. You know, we were able to pull footage. The NBA did a fantastic job of making sure footage was available for teams and, you know, having somebody down there that could capture the content who had to take on not only videographer role, but also a photographer role, some communication role with the players and everything too, just to be able to capture content and whether it was on the court, off the court, and make sure that we were delivering as much value as we could across the board for all the needs for the whole organization. So it's been a lot, and it's been fantastic to see how things have come together. So I think that's kind of what I've taken out of all of that.
Well, and for you, like, what about managing people? Because, you know, I know that's something that we've talked about, you know, on this podcast quite a bit, is kind of that philosophy of managing. But like in 2020, that's taken on, you know, such a different role where, I mean, we talked about the adaptability already, you know, how important that is. But like, I mean, just needing to understand where everyone's at from a mental health perspective. And I mean, just to take care of your employees during a time that's, you know, unlike any other. And how do you deal with that as a manager?
I think, I've talked for the last couple of years about preparing, making yourself ready for whatever comes. I think it hit home maybe too close. And, I think a couple of people in my group have, you know, recognized that I wasn't blowing smoke, that it's really like, hey, you know, we don't know what's good. You know, there's things that are outside your control that you just have to roll with the punches on. And we have a great group that, you know, has really taken on challenges. And I am very much probably a lot more hands off than some other managers. And I think my big thing is intrinsic motivation and making sure that if, you know, there's a lot of things that we have that come in that we need to do, but just trying to make sure that I communicate with them up front and just say, hey, here's what's coming. Here's why, you know, here's the overview of what you're going to be working on this season. And these are the projects that you're leading. So if something comes up, then I can, you know, shift and say, hey, you know, here's why I'm giving you this project. And hopefully the rest of the group, you know, gets that, understands that, and tries to move forward with that. But I think the most challenging time is the run up to the season, because there's a lot of question marks and a lot of things that, you know, we just have to go through in order to understand how things are going to work. So, yeah, I think it's just a communication. But as far as making sure that people are, you know, doing what they need to do, taking time for themselves, you know, getting their exercise in, I think one of the guys in my group actually picked up bike riding and went for his 20-mile bike ride over lunch. And he was like, okay, I'm out for like the next hour and a half. I'm great, you know? So it's just having some flexibility and allowing people to kind of set their own schedules too. And we had started to do that before the hiatus in March. Obviously with Boston traffic, my commute was starting to increase up to almost an hour and a half on the way in. So if there was a way to alleviate that, you know, everybody has different job responsibilities, and some of them were able to come in a little bit later and they stayed a little bit later. Trying to offset some of that and understand that everybody is different. Everybody has different needs. Everybody has different wants, and trying to meet all of that where we can, and knowing that as long as we tackle this, you know, we'll be good. So I think it just comes down to listening and trying to make sure that everybody feels like they're being listened to and heard, and supporting them however I can. And sometimes that means hopping on a call for a half hour. Sometimes that means, you know, not bugging somebody. But I think overall it's been good. But we might have to talk to them. Maybe they have a different response.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, check on your people is just the number one thing as a manager that I've been impressed with, you know, as an employee. You know, like, my manager has done a really good job of just checking on us as people, and you know, not in a way that pries or anything like that, but like, hey, how you doing? Like, what's going on with you? Like, are you good? Like, do you need anything from me? Like, it's just knowing how to ask the right questions as a manager, I think, is such an important skill, rather than, you know, having all the knowledge yourself. Knowing what to ask is maybe more important.
What do you guys think is the number one thing you're looking forward to once we're fully back to normal in the sports industry?
Playoff game at home.
That's a good one.
I mean, for us, that's the loudest that arena gets. It's, you know, I think it's a time that everybody really looks forward to. The regular season is kind of the run up to the playoffs, and we have a really good young team that, and a fantastic fan base that. There's not really anything like it, in my opinion, you know, getting into the playoffs and trying to make it to the finals. That push, you're tired, you know, worked a long season already, and it's just, you get the adrenaline running, and you just keep going. But the other thing I will add is that I hope, you know, I get to work from home a little bit more too, because it's been great to go do dinner with my kids, see them a lot, because, you know, in season, there was, you know, my wife was a single mom quite a few nights when we had games, because I would get home and the kids would have already gone to bed, or even on normal nights, Monday through Friday working, they'd already be in bed by the time I get home. So I think those are the two things that I think I'd like to keep, or that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of this weird, you know, mix of like, I really miss the travel. You know, I miss getting on a plane. I miss staying in a hotel. I miss exploring a, you know, a Big Ten college town, or sometimes, you know, somewhere else if we're going to interview parents or high school coaches or whatever. And, you know, there's a big part of me that misses that, but there's a big part of me that's like, man, not traveling is great. Like, the amount of time it's freed up for me to be able to focus just on, you know, my feature, you know, and making that better. Like, as soon as the feature's over and as soon as I have the files, I'm going, rather than, you know, I'm in an airplane and I can't get to it until the next day, or, you know, it's just, it's this weird mix of like missing it and not missing it and trying to figure out like, what is that going to look like post pandemic? But, you know, I think, and it's kind of related to that, but I think what I'm going to miss most is just sitting across from people, you know, one-on-one and talking and having those interviews. Like, I kind of mentioned it earlier when I was talking about how tough it is to build that rapport and that relationship over Zoom. And, I'm really just looking forward to being able to be in a room, sit across from a coach, sit across from a player, and just, you know, be able to look at them and really convey emotion and really, you know, understand, you know, I just feel like I have a different understanding of who they are when I'm sitting, you know, 5 feet from them in a room asking them these questions than I do when I'm over Zoom. And I think we've adapted. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, I've found ways to try and make that better over Zoom as time's gone on. But I am just going to really, really look forward to being in the same room with these people while I'm talking to them and the games. Like, obviously the games are great. Like, I miss going to games, but games just aren't as big of a part of what I do anymore. So I'm looking forward to that as a fan, but work-wise, I think I'm really looking forward to just being in the same room as someone when I'm talking to them.
For me, it's the fans, you know. There's no, like, not having the atmosphere, whether that's in an arena or at home. It's just so different. And I think it's going to cause a lot of people to really refocus on the fans and realize that in the end, sports are for the fans. And I think teams, athletes, brands can lose focus on that sometimes a little bit or get caught up in secondary and tertiary things. But understanding how important the fans are, and having a re-emphasis on your fan base and your in-venue crowd, I think is going to become a priority for a lot of teams. And I think that's important because I think we've all realized that sports without fans just kind of, it's not quite the same. It can't quite be replicated through fake crowd noise.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. It's a matter of, you know, it's the passion that they bring and excite the players. And I think the players feed off of that too. So yeah, that's definitely the missing piece. And it's been great to see all the cardboard cutouts and different boards and things that different teams and leagues have done to try and help fill that gap where they can, as best they can with virtual opportunities.
I mean, as far as content goes this year, you know, what have you guys created that stands out and, you know, something that maybe you're most proud of from the year? Like, Brock, I guess obviously you're a little more on the engineering side now. Maybe it's not content, but, you know, is there an accomplishment or a piece of content that you made in 2020 that you'll look back on and just go, oh yeah, that was the best thing I made. That was the thing I'm most proud of from this year.
Yeah, I have a couple from the engineering side. I was not the primary engineer, but I got to come in and help launch UFC's new broadcast facility that we built. And that was really cool. I love live TV and I love, you know, broadcast sports at the highest level. That's, you know, one of the reasons I got into this industry. So it was very cool to play a small role in helping launch that facility and get that on air. From a creative side, before I left Notre Dame, I was really proud of a series we did that one of my employees, Tony Simeone, and I came up with, and that was Irish Intel. And what it was is we got student athletes together with Tony, our on-air host, and myself, and we did a breakdown of their favorite play from the last season. And we used Ross Piero on it to do some high-end illustration, and we built it in a Zoom call. And I literally brought the Piero in through a capture card, brought it into the Zoom call. So we did it all in real time with them. And it ended up being a really slick feature that we could knock out a lot of, just like in the same setting we are right now with Zoom. All we needed was the footage and some input from the athlete. We were able to make nice little 2-minute features, bite-sized stuff that could then have things lifted from it for social, be put onto TV shows, whatever, what have you. So I was really proud of the creative thinking that was done there. And that was one of the first things we did when this pandemic hit. So it didn't take us long to get up and running and kind of, you know, pivot from what was the norm of a feature.
Yeah, for me, you know, we talked a little bit about the manager side of things. So from my perspective, I'll touch on something that I personally worked on, but just the contributions from my group being able to, you know, jump in and tackle a project that we had talked about a couple months ago that they hadn't been able to get to and be able to deliver on that and create some value and add something new to try out on our channels, I think was probably the highlight for me in general, because it got everybody involved, and you know, everybody was able to showcase their interests and what they would want from content as a fan, and push their skill sets that way. And I guess mine kind of falls into that. I was able to execute a full motion broadcast spot for the first time. We have typically outsourced this content, so it was an opportunity for us to take it in-house. And so I kind of ran the whole process from a mood board, doing design boards, and then executing it and animating it. And I spent a handful of weeks doing it in the run-up to the playoffs as we got back into the bubble. So that was definitely a challenging piece for me, and something that I hadn't ever tackled before, that I was able to pull through. And there was a lot of hurdles and different things, something I wanted to do and couldn't do, and had to figure out my way around it. So I love that kind of challenge. And you know, that was definitely the highlight for me personally.
Yeah, I think on my end, I mean, as a group, you know, the journey, one of the things that I think I'm most proud of is that, you know, the president of our network has basically said that, you know, he can't notice any difference between, you know, the show we were making pre-pandemic and the show that we're making now, and doing that all work from home and doing all the interviews remote and all the other challenges we've dealt with, you know, where normally we're going into people's houses, we're going into athletic departments that, you know, just aren't as open anymore, and not from, like, you know, an access standpoint, but just straight from not wanting more bodies in there that, you know, could pose a risk. And that's completely understandable. But, you know, for the president of our network to tell us that, you know, we're still doing the same level of content despite all those challenges, that was really, really meaningful to me. And, you know, I mean, personally, I think my favorite thing that I did this past year that I'll look back on, and this is pre-pandemic, so it almost feels like cheating as I hear you guys talk about, you know, all the favorite things that you've done post-pandemic. But I did a piece on Coach Fred Hoiberg at Nebraska and his son, who is a player at Michigan State for Coach Izzo. And I love that piece. I think that's the piece that I'll look back on at, you know, at the end of the year and say was probably my favorite, just because of, and I guess it goes back to the access we got. You know, the Hoiberg family really let us into, you know, they let us into their home to do some interviews. They let us be around, you know, they gave us a ton of access on game day when Coach Hoiberg at Nebraska was playing against his son, Jack Hoiberg at Michigan State. Like, Michigan State was really accommodating. I mean, I got to interview Tom Izzo. I got to interview, you know, Fred Hoiberg. I mean, just like the names in that feature were fun. And then, you know, the thing is, we had built a relationship with the Hoiberg family because Big Ten Network went to Italy with Nebraska basketball. And I was on that trip last summer, the summer of 2019. So we really kind of built this rapport with the whole family. And I think that went a long way to making that a really good feature, because they knew who I was. They were comfortable with me. I mean, they basically said that they were not sure they would have done that piece if, you know, they hadn't known who I was. So I think that was really cool to see relationship building from 2019 pay off in a feature in 2020. And it came through with such great access because, you know, Coach Izzo started Jack Hoiberg, Fred's son, in the game, and he's a walk-on. He plays probably 2 minutes a game last season. And they started him, and then, you know, Jack Hoiberg at the end came into his dad's press conference and sat in at the press conference with him at the end of the game in front of the beat. Like, there were just so many moments and so much, like, behind the scenes accessy stuff that we featured. And I think that's what makes our show really good, but it makes any show really good when you get those moments that people don't see. And that's what I guess kind of that stands out to me, maybe because it's what I miss most, like getting to see those moments that the schools and the in-house people that, you know, in the pros and stuff like that are doing a really, really good job of capturing that. But man, I miss doing some of that myself and kind of being there for those moments. So I think that's maybe why it stands out more than it normally would to me.
Yeah, that's great. Looking forward into 2021, as hopefully at some point, you know, fans get back in the stands over the course of the year, we start to see some change back to a little bit more normalcy. I guess is there anything that you guys feel were or that might be coming up as far as technology or anything along those lines that that you feel is really going to make a major move here in the next 6 or 8 months?
To me, it's really, you know, and I'm speaking from the integration, the live side. To me, it's really cloud production and you know, SRT is a protocol for streaming, not to get too into the weeds on this stuff, but, you know, having low latency, high quality streaming to be able to do and pull off cloud production. I just don't think that's going away, even when all this is over.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably echo that. I mean, I think that's where I've seen the most change, and I think it's just going to continue to grow because I, you know, to my point, like I said earlier, I miss the travel, I really do, but there are a lot of things I don't miss about it, and just having that flexibility to not have to do it for every piece where, you know, maybe it's a, you know, it's a piece where it's a little more simple and that's the one we can do from home, whereas if there's a really emotional piece, like, we need to be there and kind of a hybrid model. I don't know, I'm just riffing, you know, I don't know what it'll look like going forward, but, you know, just having that ability to do that stuff, I don't think that's going to go away. I think that's something that a lot of people will still be looking to try and do, a lot of stuff by cloud, a lot of stuff by home, and just the increased flexibility of it, to your point, Justin, is really incredible, both from an individual employee standpoint and, you know, if we can pull Brad from Missouri for, you know, a control room piece, the flexibility on that end is really important as well. So it's just, I think the flexibility of it all is why it won't go away, even when we're back to, you know, whatever quote unquote normal ends up being after this.
Yeah. I think for me, it's looking at artificial intelligence, machine learning, and how that can impact what we do, kind of along the same lines that Brock was talking about. I've heard a lot more about cloud editing, which is interesting. And I think, you know, we'll probably, the technological advancements over the last 9 months that have been pushed forward, both on the integration side and in post-production, I think have been really cool to see, and excited to see how artificial intelligence and machine learning can also push things further, especially search and discovery, because that's kind of where I'm living a lot lately, is focusing and making sure that our content management system is up to date and accessible and up and running. I guess before, as we wrap this up, is there anything personally that you guys are excited about to wrap up 2020? If I need to, I'll start. I just got a delivery of goat milk soap. And if you guys have never used goat milk soap, man, it is life-changing. The dry hands, all of the, I knew that was going to cause a reaction.
Acting like this because that's what I got my wife for Christmas. So
yeah,
like,
I got it under the tree right now.
Man, you have to wash your hands everywhere you go. It's just, you know, it's something that will keep your hands nice and smooth without cracking. And, you know, it's something that I wouldn't have necessarily said a year or two ago, but, you know, growing up and getting old, you really start to value the things that, you know, make your hands feel nice and soft to get you through your day.
And that right there was Justin's audition to become an Instagram influencer. So if you need any product sold, Justin's your guy. For me, oh man, I don't even remember the prompt. I'm so lost in goat milk soap. What was your question?
Well, that's going in the intro, just Garrett saying I'm so lost in goat milk soap.
It's the least I can do. I have to be an idiot at least one or two times per podcast just so that we have an intro. It's just mandatory at this point.
Yeah. Is there anything personally that you would like to share? heading into the end of 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to go from laughing our asses off to trying to be a little serious about this, but like, you know, just take care of people, take care of the people around you, you know, your family, your friends, everyone, like just check in on people. I mean, I think that it's something that I've personally seen people do a great job of through this pandemic, whether it be coworkers or, you know, I mean, even people that I hadn't maybe been in touch with in a long time that have reached out. And I mean, like us, we had not connected, you know, on a regular basis before this pandemic in forever. And it's, I don't know, it's just been really cool to see, you know, us come together and this come together. And I don't know, just trying to, I just think it's so important to take care of people. And, you know, if you've been lucky like I have, which, like I said, I know I've been incredibly lucky through this thing, and the pandemic has been, you know, difficult at times, but like nothing like I know it has for other people. Like, if you can give to, you know, a cause, if you can give to, you know, support other people, I think that's just what I would end with is don't get so fatigued about caring about other people that you forget to do it. Cause I know this has been long for everybody.
Yeah. And on my end, I just echo what Garrett said. Couldn't have said it better myself. So yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening this far. We're going to take a break next week, but we will kick this thing back off and get up and rolling in 2021. So thank you for listening and coming along for the ride with us. It's been awesome. It's great to hear from all of you who have reached out. So thank you for doing that. You know, it really is the highlight of our day, week, month, when we hear from people saying that we're helping you. So that's what we're trying to do, have conversations that, you know, extend into what you're trying to accomplish and what your goals are. So feel free to DM us and let us know what you're thinking. Let us know if there's a topic that we can have a conversation about to help you out. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you in 2021.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives there. The quickest way to get us to stop this podcast is to not tell anyone about it. So leave us your 5-star rating and don't forget to subscribe so you're the first person to catch each new episode. And remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.